This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back in, guys, to the Go247 podcast. I'm Glenn West, joined by Dylan Sanders, our contributing writer. We've got a lot to discuss tonight, but first and foremost, LSU is officially SEC West champions in the year one under Brian Kelly. The Tigers got it done today by pulling off a probably too close for comfort win, 13-10 over Arkansas, but got a little bit of help from the Crimson Tide in Alabama as they knocked off Ole Miss later in the day to help LSU secure that SEC West spot. Dylan, this one was a little bit closer than I think you had probably projected heading into it, but just what was your, I guess, overall takeaway from today, other than the fact that I guess Harold Perkins is just a monster and, you know, shouldn't be messed with?
I was going to say, well, my biggest takeaway is that Harold Perkins is awesome and one of the best players, one of the best freshmen, if not the best freshman I've ever watched play football, rivaling Derek Stingley's freshman campaign, which was, of course, very, very good. But overall, you know, I was a little gung-ho in my prediction about LSU being able to handle this game and bounce back. It obviously was a tough game for them. But they won, and that is they passed the test. They won. They walked away with a victory, and then Ole Miss handled the rest by fumbling the bag against Alabama and losing to give LSU the SEC championship. And now, you know, some playoff maybe. Still looking way on the future, some playoff potential on the line against A&M and UAB, but you know, LSU can start booking their trip to Atlanta, which is crazy.
Yep. We'll start looking into some arrangements for us, most certainly here in the next couple days. But just an incredible, incredible job for LSU to be in this position. I mean, if you go back a month after that Tennessee loss, this was a program that was a little bit in the dumps in terms of just, you know, confidence and momentum after kind of getting, you know, whooped by Tennessee at home. Just not a very good performance from those guys in that game, but they have completely turned it around and have now put themselves in this position. Just a tremendous, tremendous all around effort, I would say, in year one under Brian Kelly. I don't know how you couldn't say this year has been a smashing success already. But you know, you're adding layers now. You're adding stuff that you can really build on in terms of postseason success. You know, this is going to be a great challenge in a couple weeks for this group, which, you know, obviously we'll get to that when in a more appropriate time. But you know, just kind of overall thoughts on this one. You know, I thought that this was the Harold Perkins game. I mean, there's really not much to say. I can't remember a individual performance where one player just seemed to dictate the outcome of the game on defense, you know, ever. I mean, I've watched a lot of LSU games, watched a lot of, you know, football in my time and my short time, I should say. I'm sure I don't have all the experience that many other people do that are probably watching this, but you know, it's just an incredible, incredible feat, you know, to watch this guy play and really make a late season All-American case for a player who was really just a rotational guy in the first, you know, six, seven games of the year. You know, it's really not until these last couple of games that he's been on the field every single play. And so just an incredible turnaround. He obviously had four sacks today, two forced fumbles, including the fumble, you know, at the very end of the game. LSU's got it in a two-minute game, and Arkansas fumbles there and is able to LSU's able to run out the clock from there. So just some fantastic play from Harold Perkins, but really the whole front seven I thought played extremely well. I thought Makai Wingo had another really nice game. Micah Baskerville had some really nice moments. Greg Penn got into the backfield a couple times for a couple tackle for losses. And BJ Ojulari did his thing as well. He was pretty stout as well on the edge. I guess we can start with the defense since I already kind of went over it a little bit, but just, I know you're working on a piece for us in terms of just looking at the defensive effort in this game. Just is that pretty much where you're kind of lining up? It started in the front seven and pretty much was the big bullet point to take away from this one.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who has listened to the Locked On Saints podcast before knows this setup. I mean, shout out Ross, but it harkened back to the old days of the Dome Patrol. Like, it was just everybody. It was hounding everybody. It was just a resounding success on defense. A great, great day outside of, you know, one big play. It really, you know, this honestly should have been way more, way less of a close battle than it was, given the defensive performance today by LSU. Like, it was just truly dominant. It felt like a defensive version of a 2019 LSU offensive performance. Like, it was just awesome. And Harold Perkins is just so fun to watch. BJ Ojulari, Makai Wingo, all of those guys really stepped up. Everybody had a great day. Greg Penn even had a great, great day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you look at this game, you look at the stats. Arkansas came in averaging, I think it was close to 400 yards of offense total in the country. And that was a top 15 offense. You held them to 249 yards today total. They came in as a top 10 rushing team in the country, averaging well over 230 a game. You held them to 133 yards on 46 carries. That's under 3 yards a carry that Arkansas had today. Just a complete dominant effort, I thought, defensively. And really, I mean, it harkens back to, I would say, the early 2010s LSU defenses. I mean, these guys were flying around. Perkins was just unbelievable. His closing speed is just so unique for such a young player. He knows where to find the hidden spots and you know, around the line of scrimmage. I mean, he was popping up all over the line of scrimmage, and you know, whether it was, you know, Forden or Hornsby, whoever was behind center, those guys are going to have nightmares for the next couple of weeks after what Harold Perkins was able to do to them in this game. He was sensational. The defense is what really carried LSU through this one, I thought. And it was just a really good effort, I thought, overall for those guys. You know, they had the one big touchdown play right at the start of the fourth quarter that kind of, you know, made things interesting. They cut it to 13-10, and you were wondering, okay, are they going to have enough, you know, momentum to effort to pull this thing out? Enough, you know, fatigue left in the chamber. But, you know, give them credit. This defense just continued to make play after play down the stretch and really bailed the offense out, I thought, in this game.
Yeah, I don't know how much we can harp on. It was just a great day. Obviously, KJ Jefferson didn't play. That played a big part of it. But, you know, I myself, everybody talked about how Raheem Sanders was going to have a big day today. And they tried to get him going, but they just couldn't. He was 12 for 46, which for a guy who leads the SEC in rushing yards is a fantastic performance to hold him to just that. They did a great job. There were questions if they were going to be able to bring him down with him being so big and fast, have that combination. But, you know, they handled it very well. Again, it was just another time where they held through, and they were so good that Brian Kelly felt confident going for it over and over again, or at least trying to go for it in pretty much every short yardage situation.
Yeah, that was as aggressive as we've seen BK, you know, since he got here. And he's had some aggressive moments. You know, all you got to do is go back in the two-point conversion last week. But, yeah, I think at one point they were lining up on fourth and four at their own, like, 25 at one point in that game. Where, in, you know, or four, maybe it was fourth and one, maybe not fourth and four. But there was a time where they were well backed up into their own, you know, kind of field position and really had no business going for it. But they were lining up and then a false start. Kind of, you know, took that, you know, kind of momentum out of it. So they ended up settling for a punt. And then they did not settle for a punt. And they decided to do a little fake punt, a little trickery from the special teams. And I tweeted this as soon as it happened. I said, yes, special teams in all caps. And then right after, special teams, because there was a holding call that pushed them back and they had to punt it for real. So
there was a holding call on Arkansas. It was just a completely ugly turn of events.
Yeah, it was not the cleanest game, especially which we'll get into here for LSU's offense. You know, I just kind of reiterate, defense really bailed the offense out of this one. I mean, I thought, you know, really these last three games, a lot of the emphasis had been on just how much the offense had improved and how much they had the offense had carried LSU to this stretch run. So it was nice to see the defense kind of have a game like this where they were like, no, we can help win games too. We can win games and be a big part of this team's success. And I thought that was really evident in that game today. But offensively, we got to talk about it some. I mean, I wouldn't say regression, but there was definitely some tipsy moments here. I thought that are a little bit concerning as LSU kind of moves into their last couple games here. You know, it's kind of starts with, in my opinion, you know, just kind of what we talked about a lot with Jaden Daniels earlier this year. It just didn't look like that aggression was there from him in terms of that assertiveness that we had seen these last three games. Really struggled, I think, to find open receivers. And in the same breath, it really looked like, at least on film, that LSU was really struggling to get open. These receivers were kind of struggling to kind of create separation, which was a little bit surprising. I mean, you come in, you expect LSU to really take advantage of this Arkansas pass defense. They were one of the worst in the country coming into this game, and LSU really only throw for 86 yards in this game. I mean, that if you had told me that yesterday, I would have told you LSU probably got spanked in this game. I mean, that was just not, you know, even on the radar of possibilities for me. I thought this was going to be a totally dominated passing game. But there was just a lot that went into it. You know, it was a little bit on Daniels. It was a little bit on the receivers. It was a little bit on the offensive line up front, not really, you know, protecting and getting the, you know, calls right in terms of the just everything. I mean, it was just a completely botched effort, I thought, defense or on the offensive side in the pass game. And just what are your thoughts, I guess, on how this one played out, you know, for the offense, in particular the passing game?
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Yeah, I mean, we knew going into the game that Arkansas is one of the best pass rushing teams in the country. They ranked top 15 in sacks, and still seven sacks given up is an atrocious performance by pretty much everybody involved. Offensive line and Jaden Daniels both played into those. There were times where there was just no time to throw, and there was times where he had time to throw. People weren't getting open, and it led to covered sacks. And it was a little bit of just sluggish on pretty much everybody's fault. The one guy I'll give the nod to, it seems like every week this season, to be able to say, Josh Williams, you know, you'll never let me down. It's like I imagine this game is like Parks and Recreation, the one kid that is hated. And then the other kid that does the same stuff is just like, no, you're fine. I'll never hate you. You're perfect. You're my child. And that's how I kind of feel about Josh Williams right now. He can do no wrong. He is, he had another great day, and without him, who knows if maybe Harold Perkins's performance goes to waste, because he was one of the only people that looked like you could be consistent with. There was one really good play from Jaden to Kayshawn, but outside of that, I mean, Malik Nabers had a very bad drop pass late there that could have really swung things. I mean, Damian Ramos is another guy to give a nod to, at least in score, in terms of scoring.
Yeah, he got your two field goals. I would say probably the one defense that I could come to for the offense is that it did seem like, you know, for most of that game, they were backed up into some pretty bad field positioning, which is, you know, kind of an emphasis not only just on special teams, but on the offense too. I mean, like they just were not able to get out of that field positioning for a while in that first half. And it really took some Arkansas mistakes on special teams and on their offense for LSU to kind of have a couple opportunities there where the field was shortened for them. You know, you talk about the big play to Kayshawn, you know, that was a drive that started, like, I think on LSU's 40, you know, after they got a big stop, I think on turnover on downs, it might've been one of the fumbles. I can't quite remember, but it was a shortened field on that possession, and Jaden hit Kayshawn for a nice gain pretty much right off the bat on that drive. And then Williams punched it in for their only touchdown on the day, which I just did not expect LSU to only get in the end zone once in this one. I really thought that their offense would carry over into some of the more recent success. But, I mean, that's just something that you can never tell with college football and with these college athletes. It can be very up and down sometimes. And, I think it's going to be good that LSU has a game now against UAB, a potential get-right game for this offense, you know, trying to get back to what was working the last couple weeks. We talked about the weather conditions before, and I can't speak for them. I can't speak to that in terms of how it affected the offense, but it certainly looked like it was hard for these receivers to create separation, and I'm not sure how much of that had to do with the way the field was kind of playing. You know, when you have ice on the field and it's a little crunchy, it's a little bit more
snowed the day before.
Yeah, it snowed the day before, so the grass was probably a little slippery. I mean, you know, these are excuses that we're creating here, but you know, I think that probably played a little bit of a hand in this, and certainly the protection issues up front can't go unmentioned. And there were some really, I thought, Emory Jones for the first time kind of looked like a freshman out there. He had some struggling moments. There were a couple false start penalties that really derailed drives early in the series.
There was that weird aiding the runner call, which I don't remember ever seeing called before. I mean, it happened, but it just seems like something that never gets called. It happened. It's just like something I don't remember really seeing before. I don't know.
You don't see it too often, because usually the offensive line is, the ones that are behind the running backs and not in front of them, pushing them forward,
not bear hugging them across
extra yards. That was a little bizarre, but look, offensively, you gotta flush this performance. You know, LSU's gotten away with it twice now, where they passed for under 100 yards and still won the game. You go back to that Auburn game, and you're right. I mean, it really just stems from, Josh Williams just being the catalyst for this group right now. It really is amazing to see a former walk-on have the kind of impact that he's had in this offense and on this roster. And the things that I wrote about this in our three observations piece, it just looks like he brings such a calming presence to that offense when he's out there. You know, it's just nothing's going to rattle him. I think you just mentioned that, but nothing's going to rattle him. And then when he gets the ball, he runs hard, man. He is such a passionate, fierce, ferocious runner. He's hard to bring down, and he's not the fastest guy. He's probably not the most talented running back LSU's ever had, but he gets the job done and he pushes the chains. He rarely gets dropped for losses. And he's just a really, really fun back to watch. And I think has been one of the good feel-good stories of this entire season for LSU.
Yeah, I'd agree. Trying to think of what other notable performances there were on the offensive side of the ball.
What were your thoughts on the O-line? Just, you know, did you get a chance to get a good look at the O-line today? I mentioned kind of Emory Jones looked like he struggled a little bit. Bradford maybe had some moments there where he struggled, but just what were your thoughts on the O-line performance?
Yeah, overall, just a forgettable day, whether it be penalties or just getting blown by. It was just a bad day of blocking. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that you worry about 11 a.m. early. Yeah. It's the offensive linemen are tighter than normal. It's uncomfortable. And this is a game where it really felt like, man, these are four high schoolers a year ago that have never been in a situation like this. And that's kind of what it felt like today. Like it was, yeah, it was an ugly, forgettable performance. It hasn't been the norm for LSU this season. Like this late in the season, you can say, oh, that was just not their best performance. But it's not something that we need to, like, you know, harp on or be like, well, this team is fraudulent. It's just an unfortunate performance. But LSU won the game, so that's the biggest takeaway.
Yeah, and that kind of brings me in here to my final point, which, you know, Coach Kelly said this, I thought, magnificently after the game, is when he took the job last December, one of the goals that he had was that this team was playing its best ball in November. That's something you can go back and listen to in his first press conference. But the other thing that he said, which he brought up again today, which we haven't talked about much, is that he wanted his team to be able to win in the face of adversity at this time of the year. And you saw that today. They were able to pull out a really, really good win. It was not a clean win. It was not an efficient win or anything like that, but it was a good win to come away when you were not playing your best in November, to keep your playoff hopes alive, to what turned out to be clinching the SEC West. I mean, these are goals that LSU, at least people on the outside of LSU, didn't have for this team when the season started. I mean, there were eternal optimists, I think, probably pegged this team as a 9-3 team. And, you know, that's probably not usually going to get it done.
I felt good saying 7-5 before this season.
Yeah. And I was right at 8-4, and I thought that was a little bit optimistic, to be honest. So now you're sitting here, you got 8 wins. You've clinched the division.
You've clinched the division with 2 games to go. 2
games to go. Yeah, I mean it's just an incredible turnaround, and I think we should probably close with just, you know, the thoughts on how this has happened and the significance of doing this in year one. I mean, you look at, you know, teams like Texas A&M in Jimbo. You know, 5 years he's been the coach there now. They haven't done this one time since he's been there. You know, you look at Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, all the success they've had, especially on offense the last several years, they haven't been able to get over this hump yet. To do it in year one under Brian Kelly, I think, is not only a fantastic message for recruiting and for the future of this program, but it shows you that his method works and that his method will be able to take a team with LSU that has a lot of talent year in and year out. And I think be able to compete in this division for many years to come. Now, we're not sure what the divisions will look like, you know, when you add Texas and Oklahoma, if they're even going to be divisions and all that stuff. But just for right now and the way that this thing is structured, I do think LSU's a program that's going to be in it for the long haul. I mean, you just look at it and you look at the success they've had in year one with all the deficiencies that they have on this team. The fact that they are putting together these winning performances late in the season says a lot to me.
Yeah, it's way more of a positive feeling heading towards the end of the season than I expected before the season and at multiple points this season. Whether both of the losses felt like, oh, well, we had our fun. this is what it's going to be. It's going to be a rough year. Yeah. And no, it's been – the team's bounced back. They've had their adversity. They've fought, and now they are going to Atlanta in year one, and only looking up from a talent perspective after this. You have Harold Perkins for 2 more years. You have a potential number one signing class in 2023 and 2024. It's
Yeah, you got your tight end, you got your bookend tackles, you've got some very talented quarterbacks in the room.
Wide receiver talent,
yeah,
and almost close to bringing in some insane defensive back talent. It's all over the place.
Yeah, and you can definitely see the sustained winning outlook changing here. I think that, you know, just the way that LSU's gotten this kind of really great performance from some of its younger players, its freshmen, its sophomores, and even some of the older guys that have, you know, many years left of you know, kind of eligibility to play. I mean, Major Burns could be a guy who's a, you know, another 2-year player here. I mean, he could be a really big leader for your secondary moving forward. You know, you talk about you know, Harold Perkins, but, you know, also DeMario Tolan is a young guy who's starting to get out there at linebacker and make
Savion Jones
up front. You know,
he had a sack today.
Yeah.
Shout out.
I mean, like, there's foundations here building, not just for even next year, but even, you know, 2-3 years down the line, you're starting to see it. And it's just it's a good time to be an LSU fan, I think, especially for football. It's going to be a really fun kind of close to the season. I'll be interested to see ultimately how this team stacks up against Georgia. I mean, we're still 3 weeks away from that game, but it's Georgia. It scares me a little bit of how good that team's playing right now. And
I mean, we'll Mississippi State had them close at half, but I'm sure Georgia's going to pull
away. I haven't checked the score on Georgia for a while, but I think they were winning by quite a bit last time I checked. But yeah, just a lot to be excited about, I think. And, you know, with that, I think we could probably just close it out, huh? We got to end on a positive, right? We can't be ending on negatives, because it came out with the win. They were able to pull this thing off. And now you kind of get a good senior night here where you can really, I think, probably end up resting some guys. I mean, if you get out to a big lead early, you could probably play, you know, do the whole curtain call thing for some of the seniors and have a good time with it next Saturday. But
we'll be there late. I was looking forward to the last time game of the season, but it's an 8 p.m. kickoff.
I think it might be the first one of the year. I can't remember if it's their first one of the year or not at 8 p.m.
It's their first It's definitely the first 8 p.m. kick.
I've been 6 p.m., 5 p.m., you know, a lot of
11 a.m.
11 a.m. Yeah, we're gonna have to bring our coffee, but hopefully LSU puts it away by halftime so we can just write all of our stories and go to bed. So, with that, you know, we'll get out of here, guys. We'll be back with another pod previewing LSU's senior night. We'll probably touch on some basketball and some recruiting stuff next time. But until then, we'll check you guys later.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.